Well, good evening, everyone. It is good to see you. It's time for us to get started. And glad that you are here tonight. Sunday evening services, we start out with a brief, just a short Bible class kind of setting where we can kind of interact, have a little Bible study together for a few minutes, and then we just go right into our evening worship. And it all takes about the same amount of time that we used to take for our evening services. We just do things, do the order, and do things a little bit different. But glad that you're here tonight. We are we're engaged on Sunday nights, at least in these first few minutes, in a Bible class that we call Soldiers of Christ. And the design of that is just to help all of us to get into the Bible, to learn some of the key information that we can in the Bible. We've been through the Old Testament over the years, and currently we're just walking our way through various events in the life of Jesus. And so tonight we're going to be in John chapter 2. So get your Bibles and go to John chapter 2. And as you go there, let me ask you, what is the theme of the whole Bible?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Who's, is that Caleb. Caleb? Good job, Caleb. All right. Theme of the whole Bible in two words, Jesus Christ. All right? Anybody can know that. The whole Bible, that's what the Bible's about. So in three sentences, tell me what the whole Bible's about in three sentences. Someone's coming. Someone's here. Someone's coming again. You get that? You got the whole Bible. You know it all. So let me ask you, as you go to John chapter 2, let me ask you just some brief questions that we've been looking at with Jesus by way of review so that we can jump into John chapter 2. In the beginning, and it's open book test, by the way, in the beginning, Jesus was with God and
was God.
Was Jesus created by God? Shake your head this way. Was Jesus created by God? No way, because he was God. So what was Jesus' role in the creation? What did he do? All things were made by Jesus. Do we know that? Do we know that in the creation, everything that was made by Jesus? And so the Word Jesus became what? Flesh and dwelt among us. What does that mean? That means that God became flesh. God took on a human body. Why would he do that? Did he just do it for giggles to figure out what it felt like? Who said that? What did he say? Why did he do that? To save us. God became a man in order to save us from our sins. If that doesn't rock your little brain and humble your little heart, there's nothing else that will. He did that for us. So Jesus comes to this earth and he takes on three anointed roles. What were those three anointed roles? Prophet, priest, and king. He took on all of them. If he didn't take on all three of those roles, he could not have been the Son of God. So how many Old Testament prophecies did Jesus fulfill? Somebody says all of them. That's I guess depends that if you narrow your scope down, you could say that. He fulfills 332 prophecies about the Messiah. And that's all of them. So there were 332 prophecies in the Old Testament about the Messiah. He fulfills all of them. So he's born. Who was his mother? It's not on the screen. Who was his mother?
Mary.
What city was he born in? Bethlehem. 12 years later, how old is he? 12. See, that's not on the screen. You got to use your head. I'm not giving you all the answers. You got to use your head. 12 years later, he's 12 years old. They go to Jerusalem. And this ties in with what we're looking at tonight. 12 years old, Luke chapter 2, verse 40 and 41, goes to Jerusalem. When he's there in Jerusalem, he stays behind while everybody else leaves. Where is he when he is found? He's in the temple. They come back and find him, and he's in the temple. And when his mother, does she chastise him a little bit? Do you read tone into what she says a little bit? Why have you done this? Look what your father and I have sought you anxiously. Why have you done this? What was Jesus' response? I must be about my father's business. Levi's got it. We do that in Soldiers of Christ. I must be about my Father's business. He knew that at 12. Levi knows it before he's 12. Levi's not even 12 yet, and he already knows, I must be about my Father's business. And so in the Old Testament, there were all these prophecies about the coming Messiah. In the New Testament, what's the New Testament equivalent for Messiah? Messiah's Old Testament word. What's that word in the New Testament? Christ. Same word. All right, so final question up here is going to be tied in with what we're looking at in John chapter 2 tonight. So, in John chapter 2, we're not looking at the first 11 verses here. What we're doing is Soldiers of Christ, and this may seem confusing to you, but here's the plan. If you have a set of the cards that we're walking through and the questions that we're walking through on this, up at the top of the cards, it says Life of Christ, and then it says, as a part of the life of Christ, up to His last week. So we're looking at events in the life of Christ up to His last week of life. Now, once we finish that study, we're going to loop back around and we're going to talk about His miracles. So we're not even talking about His miracles in this first run through. We're just looking at events in His life. So we're going to loop back through and we're going to talk about miracles. And after we study miracles, then we're going to loop back through and study His parables. And we'll walk. So we're not even talking about parables this first time through. So after we study parables, then we're going to loop back through and we're going to look at the teachings of Jesus and the things that He taught, various sermons and lessons that He taught. And then, after we've done all that, we'll study His last week. So life of Christ, unless I'm forgetting something, life of Christ that we're studying in Soldiers of Christ actually has five different sections. And that's why we're saying this is going to take us a while to get through. We're not in a hurry. Any of you in a hurry to get through the life of Jesus? If you are, you're not in the right place, all right? Because we're only taking little snippets at a time. So first 11 verses of John chapter 2, look at a miracle. We're going to start in verse 12. So in John chapter 2 and verse 12 and verse 13, what time of year is it? You can look at your Bible. John chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. What time of year is it? Passover. All right? Why does it matter that it was Passover? Where were Jewish men supposed to be on the Passover? They're supposed to be in Jerusalem. That's one of those three times of the year when all Jewish men, 20 years and over, were supposed to converge on Jerusalem. So where's Jesus going to go? Where's Jesus going to go in John chapter 2? He's going to go to Jerusalem in verse 13 because that's what Jewish men. And so here's something I want us to learn. Levi, here's something I need you to help us to learn. In John chapter 2 and verse 13, and I put this in quotes because some of you are going to be uncomfortable with this, but Levi, here's what I want you to get, the underlying part here. I want you to help us to see that Jesus went to church when God wanted Him to. Can you help us with that, Levi? What did Jesus do? He did what? He went to church. Jesus went to church when God wanted Him to. Now, I put went to church in quotation marks because I think you know what I'm talking about. When we go to church today, we're coming to a church building. We use that terminology accommodatively. Jesus went to Jerusalem on the Passover because that's where God wanted Him to be. How long had He been doing that? I've got Luke chapter 2, verse 41 up here. How long had He been doing that? His whole life. At least from the time He was 12, if not before. That's where Jesus was. He was where God wanted Him to be. If I want to be like Jesus, Jesus went to church. That's where God wanted Him to be. If I want to be like Jesus, that's what I've got to do. So, look at verse 14. What did He find when He got to into Jerusalem? When He gets to the temple, what does Jesus find? He found in the temple those who sold oxygen. Okay, that would have been fun. Those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and He found money changers doing business. So Jesus goes to church. Jesus went to church because that's what God wanted Him to do. Caleb, I want you to help us here. When He gets to Jerusalem and He gets to the temple, Jesus saw some people. What were those people doing? They were not honoring God. Hang on a second. If you're going to Jerusalem on Passover, what should you find when you get to the temple? You should find people honoring God. Except he got there and he found people who were, Caleb, what were they doing? He found people who were what?
Not honoring
God. Is that a problem? What's going on here? Well, he comes to the temple and the temple is now an animal market. Why was it an animal market? When the Jews came, remember, 20 and above are supposed to come to Jerusalem on the Passover. When they get there, they are supposed to offer a sacrifice. Well, let me ask you a question. Would you like to pull your bull? Would you like to pull your sheep along with you for all of those miles? Or would it be more convenient for you when you get to town just to buy one? You tell me. It'd be a little more convenient just to buy one when you get there. But instead of having some kind of animal yard outside, a petting zoo somewhere else, they brought the animals inside the temple complex. Now, in your mind, get the picture that you have the sanctuary building of the temple right in the center. But around that sanctuary temple are various courts, and the largest court around it was the court of the Gentiles. And that's where some of those covered areas where you've seen pictures, kind of porch areas where you've seen these pictures are, and that's where they were selling them. But let me ask you a question. Hey, Levi, what did Jesus do? He went where? He went to church. I think Levi's behind me now, or else I'm hearing in stereo. He went to church because that's where God wanted him to be. And when Jesus gets there, remember what we talked about in the sermon this morning? He gets there, he's got a mindset to worship God. He comes to the temple with a mindset to worship God. And when he gets there, well, let me ask you, if there are a bunch of ox and sheep and doves flying around in here, how would your concentration level be on worshiping God? If you're sitting here and you hear, I mean, are you thinking how great thou art? Are you thinking holy, holy, holy? Or are you thinking, oh, Lord, what's that smell? I mean, where's your mind?
Holy cow.
Holy cow. Okay, that could be. Whew. Okay, so, I mean, if you're hearing sheep, you know, and you're not thinking Lamb of God anymore. You're thinking, what about lunch? So Jesus gets there. Some of you didn't like that. That's okay. Jesus gets there. We talked this morning about distractions. There's distractions all over the place from being able to focus on God. It's an animal market. It's not only an animal market, it's a money market. What's going on? When they get there, Jews are supposed to pay, among other, you know, their sacrifices and the tithes. When Jews get there, they're supposed to pay a temple tax. You remember Jesus' disciples being asked about, does your master pay the temple tax? Well, what was that? The Jews were supposed to pay a tax every year that went to pay for the services at the temple. Except, what kind of currency did they not want? Did they want dirty money? Did they want currency that had the image of Caesar on it? You go back and read, and no, they didn't really want Caesar's image on the money. And so often the people coming to town, they'd have to go to the bank and exchange their money at the bank. But they were just doing it right there on the temple compound. Somebody says, well, that's just convenient. That's an easy place to do it. Well, if you were one of those money changers and people were coming into town, where else are they going to go? How else are they going to get the money to pay the temple tax? You're the only shop in town. Guess what you can charge in fees? Guess what you can charge in commission? You can charge whatever you want. Jesus comes in. He sees all of these distractions. He sees all of this dishonesty. What were these people doing? Caleb, when Jesus gets there, what did he see? What people doing what? They're not honoring God. What was Jesus' reaction to that? Was he a little upset? Rod, Jesus got angry. He got what?
Angry.
He got angry when what? He saw people?
Not honoring God.
Would you have gotten angry? I mean, how does it describe it for us in John chapter 2? Verse 15. Jesus made a whip of cords. Would you say he's angry? I mean, when was the last time you made a whip of cords? Some of you just might do it for craft day. I mean, you just might get bored and you think, I just think I'm going to make a whip of cords today. Probably not. Can you imagine what's going through Jesus' mind as he's making this? Where did he get the cords, by the way? Were they right there in the temple? Maybe with the animals? He's making a whip. Now, understand, nowhere does the Bible say he used the whip on the people. In fact, if you go over and read the American Standard Version, it will indicate to you there that he used the whips. He used the whip on the sheep and the oxen. So don't think that he was whipping the people. Could have been. The Bible just indicates that it was used for the animals to drive them out of the temple. Is he angry? He goes to those in verse 15. He poured out the money changers' money and overturned the tables. You got a picture of this? Now, here's what some people would say. Jesus lost his temper. Did Jesus lose his temper? Is it possible to be angry and to not sin? Is that possible? Well, the Bible commands us to do that in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 25, 26, 27 says, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So it's possible to be angry and to not sin. Jesus angry? He's angry at the money market inside the temple complex where we're supposed to be worshiping God. He's angry at the money market inside the temple complex where we're supposed to be worshiping God. And he's not going to allow this to stand. He's not going to allow this to continue. And so he has what we would call a righteous indignation towards these people who have turned the temple into this kind of a place. Now, I find it interesting that he's not being wasteful, because in verse 16, he said to those who sold doves. So he's driving the other animals out, but he doesn't just go over and open the dove cages and let them fly. You know, it's not as if he's being wasteful. It's interesting he addresses them separately to tell them to get them out. But so what's Jesus concerned about? Jesus is concerned about making sure that what's going on in the temple is what God wants going on in the temple. Lucas, what does God want? What does Jesus want? Lucas, this says that Jesus was zealous. That means he really wanted something. Jesus wanted the pure worship of God. Can you say that? Jesus wanted the pure worship of God. And when he got there, is that what he found? He didn't find the pure worship of God. He found people doing everything but. Think about what it says in verse 16, where it says, take these things. He says to those individuals who were selling the doves, he says, take these things away. Do you have an exclamation point in your Bible? Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house. This is my Father's house. Do not. Is it personal to Jesus? He's not saying don't make your Father's house. He doesn't even say don't make our Father's house. This is personal. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Lucas, what was Jesus zealous for? What did he want to happen? The pure worship of God. That's what he wanted. That's what was supposed to be happening inside that temple, was the pure worship of God. Now, I want you to make an application of this. Jesus is walking into a physical temple complex, right? You got a physical floor, you got physical walls, you got a physical structure, okay? Now, that was the place in Old Testament times where God would come and dwell, right? God dwelt in a house that was made with hands, where the Ark of the Covenant dwelt. But as you read through the New Testament teaches that God does not dwell in temples made with hands. Okay? He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. Does he still dwell in temples? I know that's a trick question. He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. Does he still dwell in temples? Yes, he does. Well, what's a temple that's not made with hands? Two things. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says that the church is God's temple. You're going to read that in 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. You're going to read it in Ephesians 2, verse 21, 20, about 21, 20, verse 20 through 22, if I can say it. You're going to read about God's church being a temple, a place where God dwells. So God dwells among His church. These are His people. So that's number one, temple. Number two, temple, some of you said it. Number two, temple is the Christian. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about the Christian being the temple of God. So the church is the temple of God. The individual Christian is the temple of God in whom God dwells. Not a temple made with hands, but a spiritual temple. So let me ask you something. If Jesus got that upset, what do you think about this? So Levi, what did Jesus do? Where did Jesus go? He went to church because that's where God wanted him to be. But when he got there, Caleb, when he got there, what did Jesus find? They're not worshiping God. They're not honoring God. Well, what did he think about that, Rod? Was he angry?
Yes.
Why was he angry?
Because people aren't honoring God.
And so here's Jesus, who's zealous, Lucas. What does he really want? The pure worship of God, and he wants that in a physical temple. What if he doesn't get that pure worship of God in a temple not made with hands? You get the point? If he was that upset about worship that was not right in a physical temple, what about worship that's not right in a spiritual temple? Would he get just as upset? Does this belong to him, even more so than that temple that Herod was building? Does this belong to him? Yeah, belongs to him, and I've got to use it in the way that he wants me to use it. All right, very quickly, we're almost out of time. So what, last thing, David, last thing. We got to read these verses, and then I'm going to get to David. Verse 17, his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." So the Jews answered and said to Jesus, "What sign do you show us since you do these things?" Duh, he had just given you a sign, but okay. "What sign do you show us since you do these things?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews mocked him in verse 20. "It's taken us 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days?" He wasn't speaking about that temple, was he? He was speaking about the temple of his own body. So when they asked for a sign, "Give us a sign to prove that you're really who you say you are." So David, Jesus said that his resurrection would prove that he's the Son of God. What would his resurrection prove? It would prove that he's the Son of God. Was Jesus raised from the dead? He was raised from the dead. What does that prove? It proves what Jesus said it would prove. It proves that he's the Son of God. It proves that when he came to that temple and found all of this stuff going on, "This is my Father's house." And by saying that, he wasn't just talking about my Father. The Jews recognized that when he started talking about Father, that he was calling himself to be equal with God. That was his temple. His temple was not being used properly. And he said, "This isn't acceptable. Y'all got to change this." If you fast forward 3 years in Jesus' life, when you get to the last week of his life, guess what Jesus has to do again? Same thing we just read about. So in a few years, when we get to that point in our study, we'll look at it again. That Jesus comes back to the same temple in the same city, and guess what they're doing? Same thing all over again. Does it take us a while to learn things sometimes? Do we sometimes revert back to our old ways, even when we shouldn't? Jesus cleansed that temple. He wasn't losing his temper. He was angry because of how those people were behaving and not honoring and doing those things that God wanted him to do.